Welcome to Dropship. My name is Zobs. Thank you for joining us tonight. Today is a special occasion on the Dropship because we actually have two new co-hosts joining the team. They're going to introduce themselves. They're going to let you know their history with gaming, what's going on with their Apex journey so far, and just give you a little bit of background before we jump into tonight's topics. Meteor, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Hello, Zobs.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, this is really cool, man. Hello, everyone. I'm Meteor Juice. I've been playing with Zobs for a while, and there's also another person here.
What up?
Yeah, what's up, Nugget? How you doing, Nugget?
I'm good. I'm excited, man. It's been a dream, so happy to be here and happy to talk some Apex tonight.
All right, let's give the listeners a little reference point. Who you guys main in this season? Let's start the conversation with who remain in this season, because I think we've all kind of settled into our season six mains.
I'll go first. So this is Nugget, and I sort of started off the season. Last season, I played a lot of Bangalore and was really loving Bangalore and was loving the smokes and was trying to say that her ult was better than maybe it is. Once they made the changes, I definitely switched back to Bloodhound. And have been really enjoying playing Bloodhound, so much so that I can't imagine playing as any other legend just because I'd miss the scans and bathing in the bluff, so to speak. So that's that's where I'm at. Meteor, who are you going with?
I just wanted to point out, though, you are a fantastic Bloodhound main. Holy crap. Like, Bloodhound scans have been clutch in so many games. They're so strong. Love it. We'll talk about that later.
Meteor's got thoughts about Bloodhound.
Yeah. I've been maining a couple folks this season. I tend to do like a rotation kind of thing, playing a bunch of mains, so I think that's with a lot of people. But right now, I'm like really digging Pathfinder. I would consider myself mainly crypto main, and I've been playing a lot of Octane. But Pathfinder was like my OG first main, and you never forget your first main. And like many others, his big nerf to his grapple kind of dissuaded people from playing him, and that's part of the reason I stopped a little bit. But I just decided to hop back in, and he's feeling really good, especially in contrast to playing crypto, where you're kind of not really mobile at all. I just decided to just stop worrying about my grapple cooldown, and just when it's up, it's up. I'm just like hopping over boxes and over buildings, and I'm not like rationing it out. I think some people have decided to do for like combat because the cooldown is so low. So I'm just swinging everywhere, and I'm having so much fun.
Yeah, that's part of running Pathfinder, is just stunting on the poles as you run around the map. We gotta save geeking out on Pathfinder's grapple for later, because I could talk for 20 minutes on how beautiful Pathfinder's grapple is as an ability.
It's so beautiful.
Okay, you main Pathfinder this season. You're back on your OG.
Yeah, well, I'm relearning him again, yes.
Yep, okay. All right, round two of getting to know the new hosts. Just give me a game that was meaningful or pivotal in your gaming development. Like for me, I'll say Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy dropped. I was that perfect age, and it blew my mind. And I just played the demo, and I got so many feels. And like for me, I'm like a Final Fantasy kid.
It's hard for me to think of any game outside of an FPS, to be honest with you. I played a ton of FPSs growing up, so
So what's your SPF history?
I was a COD kid, so I played a ton of COD. Started with COD, maybe COD 2, maybe even before that. Played a ton of COD all through like Black Ops 2. But outside of FPSs, I would say either The Last of Us or the Uncharted series was like the first series of games that I played that sort of broadened my mind about what gaming could be and the experience you can have while gaming beyond just like the competitive first-person shooter aspect of things. So those games definitely have a special place in my heart. Games that have nostalgia and that I would go back to and sort of wrap me into the storytelling in a way that I just didn't know that gaming could do before I tapped into games like those.
Yeah, The Last of Us is something special. That one gets you in the feels.
Oh, yeah.
FPS. My FPS was probably Halo. I had an OG Xbox. Oh, man. And, like, hanging out with the neighborhood kids. I had a bunch of siblings, and my older brother, we'd have like LAN parties.
Yeah. Okay. So we got
Xbox.
Okay, Halo.
Yeah. Yeah, and playing Halo and like running around and like split screen sniping.
Oh yeah. Now would you look at the other side of the screen, or would you stay on your side of the screen?
I tried not to, but every now and then you take a peek.
Your eyes wander.
But that's why we had the LAN parties, right?
Oh right, yeah.
It was tough.
Those are the best, and just like, yeah, Halo and like what is it, Blood Gulch? That big giant map, and getting in vehicles.
Yeah.
And then like trying out all those weird like vehicle tricks with like plasma grenades and stuff. So Halo, oh yeah, and the campaign too. So good. Playing a legendary. And after that, actually, that was probably my biggest one. And I kind of like died off from video games for a while. And so I had kind of a resurgence of like the past couple years of really getting back into FPS. And Apex was that, actually. So pretty recent. In terms of other video games, yeah, I was an RPG kid. Big RPG nerd. Final Fantasy.
Yeah, but Final Fantasy's taken. That's mine. Last of Us, Nugget took. Give us something else.
I don't know, man. RPGs, like Japanese RPGs were amazing. Just obsessed about it. So,
okay. Now, last intro note. How did we all start playing together?
Ooh, can I take this one?
Please.
Yes, please.
Nice. So, okay, the story of how the three of us got together was Zobs, along with SD, was a host of The Dropship, which was this amazing Apex podcast. And when I first started getting into Apex, which was like first week of Apex, and I had played a ton of Fortnite before that, I was just super hungry for Apex content. I found The Dropship, loved the show, gave them a 5-star review, which I think they read out on the show back in the day.
Always appreciate it.
And I joined the Dropship Discord. And through that, played a couple games with Zobs. And we had a good time. Zobs was super cool. We got some dubs. It was good times. And I found my way into playing in this Apex tournament put on by the man, Elmer Fudd, who everyone should go check out if you can on Twitch and YouTube. And he puts on these monthly Apex tournaments where you make a squad of three. It's sort of essentially a two-hour kill race. And I played in one, and I think we placed maybe third or something like that. And the next month, we needed another player because one of our players couldn't play. And Meteor was in the Outplayed Discord. So I shot Meteor a message because we needed a third for that team. Meteor and I play in that group. And we did, I don't remember how we, do you remember how we did, Meteor? I think we did okay.
What do you mean?
In that first tournament we played together.
Yeah, I remember it so clearly. It was my first like thing. I was so excited to do it. I was getting into Apex and like joining like a gamer community, which I've never experienced before. And the way you invited me was just out of the blue. I think you tagged the wrong person, and I was like, oh, maybe. And you're like, oh, I actually meant this other guy. And then, but then in the next tournament, it's like, oh, actually, do you want to play? I was like, yeah. And yeah, it was a funny story because I was trying to message that third and they weren't responding. And I was letting you know that. And you're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I don't think, I don't know if it's going to happen. He's like, oh, wait, I got somebody. In fact, he hosts an Apex podcast as well. And Zobs comes in like 30 minutes before the start.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I got to know Zobs like during the tournament, like talking to him for the first time.
So this bond was built in Apex competition in the arena.
It was. It really
bathing
was.
In the bluff. That's
and specifically cool. In Vengeance, because we got beat. Yes. And then we were like, hey, you guys want to meet up and start training for the next one?
Yeah. And we did. And we sort of took it seriously to try to get better together. And our squad sort of synergy got better and better over the weeks and days that we played together. And we ended up winning this last league because we didn't play in it, but the second to last outplayed league. We joined late and we won the league, and a lot of that was just due to the fact that we had played so much together and just knew each other very well. So that's how we came together.
And then, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, we won a FUD tournament, correct?
You guys did. I couldn't play in that one, but you guys did.
Yeah.
And then those Szechuan bastards showed up.
Those bastards, those saucy boys.
I don't want to talk about it.
Those dang kids.
No, we're coming off a streak of second places, guys. We'll get to that on another episode.
Yeah, we've been frequently getting second place.
Yeah, so that's not too bad. I think it's like 3 seconds in a row.
That sounds right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys. So tonight we're going to do one major topic, and then we're going to have a bunch of little nib-jib topics in between. The major topic tonight is going to be that TTK, Time to Kill. We're going to be talking why just 25 hit points was felt so severely through the community. Mm. And then we'll talk a little bit about that the devs listened to us this time. And what's that mean? How often should devs listen to us? And just how do you deal with a community who has very strong thoughts about your product? And then a bunch of other stuff, because it's a new season.
It is. It's fresh.
Yeah, I think I wanted to jump in into the fact that how it feels reverting the old TTK and kind of like discussing how the faster TTK relates to that and how we're feeling now with like the higher TTK again. Nugget, you're feeling really good about it, right? Like old Apex?
Yes.
Wait, I want to jump in. Nugget did not love the reduced TTK.
I was not its biggest fan. No.
Just a little bit really didn't like it. Just a little bit.
I mean, here's where I was about it. I came to Apex from Fortnite, and one of the things that I've loved about Apex in its lifespan has been the TTK. And I love that you're able to make big plays, and you're able to use the somewhat slower TTK to use the abilities that your legends have to use tactics and to sort of just use the uniqueness of each legend and like team synergy to make plays and to win fights. And when they made all, it's the thing is that they just made so many changes all at once at the beginning of season 6, not only with the Evo shields and with the faster TTK and the weapons where they were at the start of the season.
Replicators.
Yeah, with the replicators, with devotion back in the regular loot pool with the turbocharger. It was just like, man, you would get melted so fast and you just could not do the things you could do before. And so at first I definitely was not a fan, but I was doing really well. Like all my stats were better than they were last season. So
right,
my KD was up, my win rate was up. My damage was not up because there was lower health to be found around the map. But I still just felt like I wasn't playing as well. And when you died for me, it just felt like so much more rage inducing. And it just did not feel like Apex to me. It felt more like closer to a COD type, you know, fast TTK experience, which I could have gotten used to. I think if we had more time with it, I think I could have gotten acclimated to it and maybe grown to like it a little bit. But I'll just say I'm glad that we did not have to get used to it and that they
yeah, that
the
was
change.
The limit. I was being cool about it and I was like, this is cool. But like, oh no, don't keep going in this direction. I don't want less TTK after this one. This is the max.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel the same way. I'm glad I had lots of feelings and then it reverted back and I said, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I think I was a devil's advocate for fast TTK. I think that's just how I am with Apex in general. You probably hear that. That's my philosophy really of Apex. Like if changes are made, my mindset is, okay, so these are the new parameters, mm-hmm. okay? How do I think my way and adjust myself to overcome and, like, make the best use of these new variables, you know?
Totally.
So with fast TTK, I thought it could have been a healthy change in terms of capitalizing on better positioning on the Battle Royale map. And snipers were buffed pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, now
yeah,
snipers
that's the one thing
poking.
I miss is the sniper buff.
Yeah, so you're not just poking and like waiting for them to heal behind cover. You could actually get downs and then push, you know?
I had a game where I had 3 Kraber kills.
Ooh.
Right?
That sounds tasty.
Yeah. Every time I shot one of them and they dropped, I couldn't believe it. It was just so amazing. It was 3. No, one of them I had to hit twice, but still the other 2 just dropped.
Yeah, the fast TTK just made sense because like a lot of things could just feel better. Like a bamboozle, like you'd get a kill because they were just distracted for that second, you know. It's an easier kill. A lifeline would get more use, Watson's ults will get more use, it's just stuff like that. I thought like these could be good changes, but then they changed it back way quicker than I thought if they were going to. And yeah, I'm loving the old TTK.
Oh man, well they changed it back.
It feels good.
I was just like,
it feels really good.
It felt like coming home. It felt like Apex was back. And I was just like, my first game session back on the reverted TTK, I think I had three wins in a row, and then I lost the fourth game, and I was posting on it on the Outplay Discord, and Flav gave me a mulligan, and then we won the next game. So it was just like, it was the best way to come back to the old TTK, and I was soaring high.
Yeah. I don't think that's died down. I think you're still cracked, man. Like, you're killing it in all these games.
It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. I feel like I can play more aggressive. It's almost like the change that we had, I was not playing as aggressive as I normally would because I felt like I kept getting deleted from the game. And now that we've reverted, I'm playing a lot more aggressive, and maybe my positioning awareness is heightened now because of that change. So it's like I'm being aggressive while also being aware, or even more aware of my positioning, which is just making me a better Apex player overall. You know, so maybe it worked out for the best that we had that sort of taste of what it would be like if you stepped out from a little rock and you get absolutely deleted because you poked your head around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was my experience. So I had a unique experience in this whole TTK thing because before the update dropped, I realized that I had been running around playing like I had 250 hit points. So I was already reeling and reestablishing the basics of my gameplay when we dropped down from 200 to when we lost to 25 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing better in the new meta, but then when we flipped back, I also loved it. But for me, it was this weird experience in that I was already learning how to like chill out and stop doing so many stupid plays.
Totally. I feel like I'm slowly reverting back to just making stupid plays. Sometimes I pop that Bloodhound ult and I am way ahead of the team making terrible pushes in the open because I feel like I'm invincible.
It's funny. I was thinking really hard about it. When you pop that Bloodhound ult, I think I was watching a Diego Soros video. He described the Bloodhound ult as reverse wall hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they pop that ult, you know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
So I've noticed like maybe they're just bad Bloodhounds, but I've been melting Bloodhounds as soon as they turn a corner. Like I know exactly where they are. I'm tracking them, and they're gone. I deleted them. So that's why we've talked about this. That's why they have their scans like all the time. It offsets that. You want to just keep scanning while you're ulting, so it just like evens the playing field while you're like murdering everybody. My point was when you pop that Bloodhound ult, Nugget, and you're charging ahead because you're always the first one in because you're Nugget, I make it a point to just kill everyone that's shooting at you, and then we usually just clean up.
Oh, thank you, man. That's so nice.
Uh-huh. I got your back, buddy.
I appreciate it.
You are the lightning rod of everyone else's aim.
Yeah, Nugget does the Bloodhound berserker tradition.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I'm totally a berserker. That's a great Justin. Description. Absolutely.
That, you really are.
Yeah, that's a great...
In the best way, though.
Totally. I like to just mix things up, you know, get all up in there. One more thing I want to say about the TTK before we move on is just one thing that I really bugged me about start of season 6 with the faster TTK is it really put the gold armor in this really strange place where...
Yeah.
Your gold armor was 75 hit points. And the benefit of gold armor is that you can use cells and you get, you know, double the worth of a cell if you have a gold armor. And so it created this weird dynamic where it was often just better to use a shield battery because you weren't going to get the added benefit of a gold shield with a shield cell. And they did add that little thing about the Sentinel that you could... It would use one cell instead of two, which was nice, but I'm glad that they changed it because it made the gold armor somewhat viable again. I think it's still, I mean, that's something we could debate, but I think it's,
yeah,
it's viable again. And I didn't feel like it was with the faster TTK.
Yeah, I was the same way. There was no decision to be made. It was red armor over the gold. Now I'm back to saying, ooh, this, do I take the gold or do I take the red? Now it's a decision again. So what was different about this time was the devs listened to the community and they rolled back changes. So I thought this could be a nice moment for us to talk about you know, the relationship we have with the devs, and should they listen to us? Is that even good business, or how to design a good game?
Yeah, I think it's healthy for the developers to make changes when there's such a big outcry from the community of what needs to be changed. Because I think they said it too in their developer response that when they play test, they only have like a small sample size, and it's usually probably not like the top players. It's a different culture, I think, and their behavior would be a little different than what the community would do. So once that hit, I think they decided to revert it.
It's nice to know we have a little bit of power within our own community.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a balance though, right? Like I kind of frown when people are always angry at an immediate change. Like, because I frequent Reddit. I don't know what your guys' experience is, but I usually go on Reddit and I kind of just like put a finger on the pulse, and I'm usually just there making like shit comments, which is just like, instead of shit posting, I just like comment whatever. But
dude, you should be our senior Reddit correspondent.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
he already has that job.
I'm completely okay with that because I get so much outrage and I have so much thoughts about the idiots on Reddit. And they're also lovely, amazing things in Reddit, and that's why I love it. You know, it's an up and down. It's got everything. Mm-hmm. Mixed bag. But yeah, people usually just immediately vent, and it's just so just reactionary when I'm usually the one commenting like, hey, give it time, you know, let it settle, figure it out, and maybe you'll like it, you know? So, but yeah, it was a surprise.
I really approached this with my best foot forward and I was like, yeah, I can adjust to new metas. But then when the news dropped, I was like, oh, great. I didn't know how relieved I was until it happened. And I was like, yeah, fuck this meta. You guys are right.
I agree. Right. I mean, I think when they changed it, it felt like, to me, it just always felt off. Like it just didn't feel quite right. And I felt confident that they'd make a tweak. I honestly didn't expect them to make the tweak they did as quickly as they did. I thought they would give it a little bit more time to sort of get some more data and test it. But that, to be honest, that was kind of the change I was hoping for, was that they would keep the Evo armor, because I think that's a great change from what it was before. But just boost up the shields that extra 25 hit points, which they did. And I think it was a good change. I think they could have waited another week or two to sort of wait out the community. Because I was surprised, you know, in some of the communities we're a part of, there were a lot of players who really liked the change and didn't want to see it reverted and were having a great time and just thought this was like Apex, you know, 2.0 that they were hoping would stay. I think the vast majority of the Apex community, and I sort of saw this on Reddit and also on YouTube comments and Twitch chat, that most people were not in favor of the new TTK, but there definitely were people who liked it and were doing well with it and would have continued with it for a little bit longer, I think.
Yeah, because you said your KD shot up, right? Yeah, mine was well, but what sucked was that the kills are great, but those deaths were just so frustrating where it's mm-hmm. not worth it.
That was definitely something I heard across the board. It was like people were having more success with the game, but they were also balancing that out with increased rage. Because it just felt so terrible to just get absolutely, there's nothing you could do. I mean, of course you could, maybe you wouldn't have put yourself in the position you did, but sometimes even that you can't control. And you had no hope. If someone had the sight on you before you saw them, or before you had your sights up, you were gone. You were down, and there was nothing you could do.
I just wanted to pop in about the Evo armor, which I'm glad to hear that you're into. I am as well. But the only frustrating thing with the Evo armor is that armor swaps are really weird.
They are.
That's super weird.
They verified they're working on a fix for that. So in looting, you'll see the armor's new next damage level.
Ooh, that's great news.
Zobs, you really jumped in on the point I was going to do, because that's what I was going to say. But, you know, it's fine.
I'm so sorry.
You're the OG host, so.
No, I'll concede.
You're right. I'm just joking. I appreciate that, Zobs. Yeah, I think you should keep most of that in.
Yeah, I'll work it. Yep. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Rampart. None of us are maining Rampart. So we can't, we're not saying like we're giving you a guide, but we've all been lit up by a Susie? Oh, fuck me. What's her name?
Sheila.
Sheila!
I like Susie, though. We should go with Susie. New name.
All right. How you guys, how you dealing with Rampart so far?
Nugget, you're really liking her, right?
I like Rampart. I've played her a few
Nugget
times.
Nugget loves waiting patiently in a spot for people to come to him. That's one thing
I can slow
about
down now. Every once in a while. If I'm playing, I played my fair share of Caustic, you know, I can slow it down a little bit.
All right, fair enough.
Here's what I like about Rampart. I really like the tactical. I like the amp cover. I think it can have its moments where you have to be really premeditated about it and just put it up even if you don't need it yet. You have to sort of think about what are the angles you're going to need to have cover and what are the shooting zones you want to have available to you to have that amp cover. So I think she takes a little bit, not necessarily more skill, but more game sense and more game awareness to play to the highest ability.
You gotta see the future with Rampart.
You gotta think a few steps ahead.
Yeah.
I feel like she's kind of in a mid-level, if we're gonna put her on a tier list, like sort of mid-level to just below balanced sort of place on that spectrum.
Season I don't feel like she's buff, yay or nay.
She could use a little tweaking, I don't think. I don't think she needs a huge buff, because I think she fits. And to be honest, I feel like she might be better in ranked, and I haven't played a ton of ranked this season, so
yeah,
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, true. I bet she's not bad in ranked.
I mean, it's sort of it's a question of who would you want to give up in a ranked meta to make room for Rampart. But I do feel like her utility might be better, especially when you're thinking about positioning an endgame, to have the shield, not only the cover, but the Sheila ult.
Yeah, I think I've played her a little bit. I think she's definitely one of those higher skill curve legends in terms of just knowing exactly when to use her abilities. It's so different than the other ones. I've played her a little bit in like the most recent games, just thinking about, you really need foresight of when to set up those covers. Like you'd be at a spot, and then I was just thinking about, okay, well, I'm over here. I might wipe that squad, but there's another squad over there, and that squad might come up here and third party us. So maybe I can set up a cover here, and just really thinking about, all right, I'm setting up the potential, or I'm preparing for a potential fight that may or may not come. And the skill curve is like really being good at predicting that, you know?
Right.
But it is really frightening when you're either going for a flank or you're going to like another part of the building to heal, and there's an amp cover there, and there's just someone there, and they just melt you, and it's the most scary thing.
There's nothing you can do.
Uh-huh.
I remember when Crypto first came out, we had a game where I was playing Crypto, and I remember we were in Fragment somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a game the three of us were in, and I had set up the drone in such a way that it was scanning every single enemy that it was attacking us in a building we were holding down. And so throughout this very long, sustained fight, we just kept getting intel about where the enemies were coming, and we got like five partied throughout that fight.
I know.
Fight.
It was insane.
And it was one of those moments you have with a legend where you just use them to their fullest potential, and you're just like, wow, this legend can be amazing, and this is my new main. And I felt like I had a moment with Rampart similar to that, where I had...
Okay.
We were outside of Fragment near the train station, where there's that building and the respawn beacon before you go down the tunnel into Skyhook.
Yeah.
And I had set up amp cover underneath that little house across the train track in sort of a triangle. And I think we might have even had to respawn one of us in the midst of a fight. And it's just like the cover was set up perfectly. There were squads that would drop onto the ground and I could shoot them with the amp cover, and it just worked out perfectly. It was one of those moments where I could see the potential of Rampart, but I do think she's kind of situational, so she wouldn't be my top choice, but I do think she's fun, and I think she has potential.
Yeah, guilty pleasure is when somebody throws up an amp cover, and I just sit there scoping out the area, and I don't have to duck and dive, and there's just a shield, and I got my sniper. I just post up and start looking around. So relaxing.
Yeah, I guess with the amp cover, because my usually mode of aiming in general is I'm always moving. So I guess with amp cover, you could really just stand still and really focus on that shot. So I can see her being really good as a sniper, you know? Set the amp cover totally. Up there, like a cover.
Yeah.
Just really, just focus on that shot. We all agree that killing everybody with a Sheila is one of the most satisfying things, right?
Totally.
It's great. Feels good.
Yeah. Do you know it shows up on the mini-map?
I didn't know that at first, but now it's a, I do. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what shows up in the mini-map?
The Sheila. Where it's positioned.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Even when an enemy sets it up, you can see it on the mini-map just pop up. It's like, oh, I can't exit this cave. There's a Sheila there.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Sheila needs to be worked a little bit, maybe a little more angle. It's pretty easy to flank a Sheila, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like when I see, sometimes they come around a corner and it's at a rampart with psychic abilities and they just blow me up. And I come around the corner and there's a whole fortress and I just get lit up. And that's happened a few times and I appreciate the play. But most of the time I see a Sheila and I'm able to flank it pretty easily outside of its angle of attack.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've probably been killed by a Sheila less than 5 times.
Yep.
That's what it feels like to me.
Same.
I wonder, it probably would get to the OP point, but if you could just pick it up maybe once and reposition during an ult or something like that, so you could, you know, change angles. Yeah. But I think,
or like increase the radius of the turn so you have more of an angle.
Yeah.
It's pretty
damn. Yeah, there's so much mobility in this game. It's really easy to outmaneuver a Sheila.
Yeah, you really have to, your whole squad has to buy into the idea of, okay, we're just going to hold down this position. Because if you set up your Sheila and then you're playing with a Nugget and he ults and goes off, you know, down the hill, it's not going to do you any good that you set up a Sheila there. So your team kind of has to buy into the fact that we're going to play this position in order to get the most value from your ult.
Well, what about this? There's a squad over there, right? And you go push, but I set up a Sheila on the roof, like in the opposite side. What I need you to do is to draw out everybody out of that building so I could Sheila them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's a good play.
So if you can somehow lure him out somehow.
Yeah, there's definitely moves to make. And I'm really excited about the character. I think it's a little bit about Watson. I remember doing show notes and being like, Watson's underpowered, blah, 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 blah. And I found out in ranked and in pro play, Watson was a must.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just so out of touch, and I was, you know, in my own little world, I couldn't appreciate what Watson really was because, you know, I was just running around regular Apex.
Yeah. Yeah, ranked. I think high-level ranked is a totally different animal, so.
Okay, so replicator beacons. This is a whole new economy, a whole new addition to the looting set and the looting loop. What are you guys' thoughts on it? How are you feeling about it? And why do you think the devs did it?
I was skeptical, to be honest, of the crafting economy and that it was coming to the game and the replicators when I first heard about it. I have been very pleasantly surprised with the replicator and the whole crafting economy. I feel like it's been a great addition to the game, and it's helped them mitigate that whole loot pool quandary they were in, where they had so many different attachments and weapons and healables and throwables that you couldn't find enough of the things you really wanted. Okay. And I think that they're able to put a certain fixed amount of items in this replicator each day and rotate it each week. It's allowed them to spread out the loot pool a little bit. And I like it. I think it's a good change.
Me too. I felt the same way. I was like, what is this? Ugh, more shit to deal with. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I got a little control over my loot. I'm going to go pick up that skull piercer.
Yeah, I think the introduction of replicators ended up becoming like a dark horse kind of benefit to the game where we didn't really see it coming in terms of how good it is. It's really cool to have on the map. Like, I feel like there's like this side mission, like a thing that like pops up as like an objective in the game, not just like chasing a gunfight or killing people. It's kind of like the feeling you get when you need to pick up a banner and respawn. It's like, oh, I got to do this now. Now it's like they give you dailies and weeklies, and which I think was like brilliant.
Yeah,
because then you could plan ahead. Like, okay, the weekly for this week is like a purple backpack, and I'll go and grab that because that's really awesome. Like today or yesterday, right? Something like that. It was a wingman, so I know there's a purple heavy mag in there. It's like, okay, great. So I'm going to pick up this flat line instead of this volt because I know I'll get a purple mag for it, you know? I think that's really cool. And then I find myself actually, like, being disappointed that I didn't land somewhere with a replicator. It's like, oh, let's rotate here. There's a replicator here. Let's go over there. Loot up. So it's really nice. And I'm excited that they found a solution to clogging up the loot pool, because now what I want is, like, really weird, like, things to pick up on the map, like more weapons or more other types of inventory we could use, other types of grenades. So I think that's awesome.
And Zobs, you were making a point about the replicators last night, about the wingman being in there, right?
Yeah, okay. So as a game developer, you want to make the experience pleasant for players. And RNG and the experience of always having a different loadout every match for some players is not comfortable. They want to use the same guns every time. And you can't have that in Battle Royale. But this new system, if you want, okay, it's Wingman week. You can play all week with the Wingman, with the same setup, the same amount of bullets, Skull Piercer, and practice with the Wingman. And it's just a little bit of more control over the RNG that's inherent in Battle Royale.
Yeah, it's just nice to be able to know what you have, something you can expect in the midst of this very random BR, that there's totally something you can rely on. And it may not be your completely ideal weapon, but it's something you know you can go to if you have, you know, your least favorite gun in the game. You can very easily swap that out for something better.
Guys, you have a guaranteed select fire if it's there in the replicator. It's like, oh, I have a Prowler select fire. Like, we're going to win.
Uh-huh.
And it's really comforting.
Yeah, I thought the whole system would be a pain in the ass, but it's actually kind of nice. And some matches, yeah. I'll log in and I'll take a look and I'll kind of give the importance of the replicators like a point system. Sometimes I'll look at it and I'll say, oh, I got to hit replicators. I need that every match. And sometimes I'll look at it and I'll say, yeah, I can, you know, if I pick up some points along the way, great. But if I don't hit a replicator, that's okay.
Yeah, and the fact that you can grab ammo, like, really fast, conveniently, that's really nice.
Yes. Definitely had a few matches where I'm just starving for ammo, and then I just charge up. All right, anything you guys wanted to talk about? Thanks for joining us. We're the Dropship. Join our Discord.
I got a lot more things to talk about Pathfinder.
Save it for another episode.
Zip lines are really cool. I feel like you should be able to hop more on them.
More hops.
A longer grapple.
Like, 2 or 3 times long. The length.
More dance emotes for sure.
Double grapple.
No, double grapple for sure. I want like a turbocharged mode with infinite grapples.
I want to be able to grapple an enemy while I'm grappling away with the enemy in tow.
Grapples on each arm, Spider-Man mode.
Just suspended from two buildings. Psh,
psh, psh, grapple in the feet.
And that's the sound of the dropship running out of steam. Thank you for joining us. My name is Zobs. Join us on our Discord. We're revamping the whole thing.
Yeah, I like that. I want a strategy channel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm all about.
Strats and gats.
I think we need some LFG channels in there too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that.
All right, we're working on the Discord right now. It's not exactly set in stone, but if you want to join, you want to hang out with other like-minded Apex players, link is in the show notes, and just, you know, come hang out.
If you've never joined a Discord before, join the Discord. Discord is fantastic. It's a great way to deepen your gaming experience, meet cool people, end up on a podcast. It's a good time.
It really is amazing.
Yeah, and if you're more introverted, feel free to join up and never say a word. We don't give a damn. Well, maybe tell us what system you play on. But outside of that, just, you know, join up, see what happens, and we're going to grow the community together.
We're doing plugs?
Yeah.
I really want to plug Nugget Stream, and he's getting close to affiliate.
Yes.
And he's killing it in the game and also being close to affiliate. So you guys should follow him.
I'm not used to plugging, but you can.
That's why I plugged for you.
Thank you. You can follow me on twitch.tv/LittleNuggetMC. I'm streaming most times that I play and just kind of hanging out, having fun.
Check for the link in the show notes. Come hang out. I'm usually in the stream being a creeper. Thanks for joining us tonight. We will be back within the week.
Peace.
Bye.
Laser blazers, blaze more laser.